you and I learn to worship Him. We go from that praise, 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 up on our feet with our hands raised, dancing, praying, singing, confessing, to down on our face before Him. And that's when it goes deeper, when the Holy Spirit takes us deeper in. And that's when we start to see dreams, you know, we start to see visions, God, we start to see things in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is taking us deeper into the presence of God, and it's worship, and it's quiet, and see, you know, where we've been praising, where we've been dancing, where we've been singing, now we're quiet, now we're still, now we're quietly praying in tongues, perhaps, and just worshiping, just with our face in the carpet and our hands extended out to Him. We're just worshiping Him. We're laying ourselves before Him. We're laying prostrate before Him. Hallelujah. Bless God. Jesus in the garden lay prostrate before His Father. That's right. See, He lay prostrate before His Father. You can read it in the text if you want to take the time to do it. But that's where we're at. That's where it's at. You know, I got criticized one time by Sudanese pastors because I was demonstrating this type of worship, and I was demonstrating, you know, even the physical stances that are involved here, and they said, "You're acting like a Muslim." Well, the Muslims just stole it from the Christians. See, Muslims didn't start till about 600 AD, 650, whatever it was, and Christianity had already been around for 600 years. So what were they doing? They just stole it. They just stole that posture of prayer from the Christians and from the Jews. That's right. Bless God forever. See? So you're just taking it back. You're not imitating the Muslims. You're imitating God, you know, the principles of God, the Word of God, because it says these things in the Word. To prostrate yourself, to kneel before Him, to all, you know, to raise your hands, all this stuff, see? And they say, "Well, I'm trying to be like a Muslim." I'm not trying to be like a Muslim. Muslims are trying to be like me. That's right. Bless God forever. See? So I never allow that to get me off too much. Hallelujah. Bless God forever. You see, I worship Him. I worship Him. And when I'm in that attitude of humility, of humbling myself, then He is able to exalt me. You see, if you don't humble yourself, the way to go up is to go down. See, if you don't humble yourself, then God's going to have to humble you. He's not going to exalt you by giving you gifts of the Spirit. He's going to humble you, see, by whatever means necessary. But many times it's by not giving you the gifts of the Spirit. That's how He humbles us, see. So you get, you know, if you can't physically get down, then you get down in your heart, see. If you can't physically get down, then you get down in your heart. You go from that praise, that exaltation, that dancing, that singing, to that quiet humility, to that quiet reverence, to that quiet tent, you know, where it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Hallelujah. And you, maybe you're quietly praying in tongues. So you're quietly praying in tongues. And that's just beautiful to do when you're worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth, you see. It says in verse 14, 1 Corinthians 14, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." You know, you pray in tongues. You pray in tongues. You see, there is, I want to tell you something else too. It's at this time, when you get into the presence of the Father, when you've been praising, you've been confessing, you've been worshiping, that the Father says to you, "Ask what I shall give thee." And then that's when you ask for the gifts of the Spirit. That's when you ask for what you need. See? That's when you ask. Let me show you that in Matthew 21. It says, "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Matthew 21:22. Let me show you this from 1 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, you'll see that Solomon has gone through all the principles that I've talked about. He's praised. He's worshipped. He's given God worship and offerings. Then it says in verse 7, "On that night God appeared to Solomon." There he is in the presence of God. See, he's in the presence of God. And God said to him, "Ask, what shall I give you?" You see, most people go to God with their grocery list, you know, immediately. And that's not really how to do it. I mean, you know, you show mercy and grace to your children, especially to your youngest children, because that's, you know, they just don't know any better. But when you're older, you expect some love, you expect some respect, you expect some courtesy, and you expect politeness out of your children. That's right. That's right. I expect that out of mine. And God expects that out of His. See, that when they come to you, it's with courtesy. And they come to you with respect. And they come to you recognizing, you know, who you are to them. That's right. And you see, God expects the same thing. You know, you just don't go to God with your grocery list and say, God, give me this, give me that, give me this. No, you wait on Him. You wait on Him. You know, if you walked into the office of the President of the United States or the President of your country, you wouldn't just say, hey, Mr. President, you know, give me this, give me that, give me something else. You would allow him, you would show courtesy and dignity and respect towards him, and you would allow him to say to you, what can I do for you? See, when the President stood up, then you'd stand up. When the President sat down, you would sit down. You wouldn't just run around and do anything you wanted to do. You would be respectful of the office and respectful of the man. And then when he said to you, you know, what brings you here? What do you want? See, then that's the time that you would ask him for the things that brought you there. See, and it's the same thing with God. You wait in his presence, and then you present your petitions. Then, you know, you get into his presence, you love on him, you worship him, you praise him, you honor him, and then you get into his presence, and then you ask him. Then you ask him. Then when he says to you, ask him, what shall I give you? Then when you know in your heart that it's right to ask him, then you ask him for the things. Then you ask him for the gifts of the Spirit. And then you ask him for the anointing. Then you ask him for the deliverance. You ask him for the solution to your problem. You ask him for the supply that you need. See? Hallelujah. Bless God forever. See? This is how it works. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, this is truth. There's an order in presenting your petitions. Just don't get legalistic about it. See? And all this stuff that I'm teaching you, you gotta apply it with love and with grace. You know, I'm teaching you truth. I'm teaching you truth. But if you take this truth and you get all legalistic about it, then you're going to miss the truth. See, you're going to take the principles and in their general application and in their, you know, in their application to your situation, you're to walk by the Spirit. Bless God forever. So recognize that there's worship. Recognize that there's praise and that there's confession that needs to happen before you praise, and there's praise that needs to happen before you worship. And then as you're worshiping, then you can ask your petitions. Then you can ask for the gifts of the Spirit. Then you can ask for the things that you need. See? And it's the Holy Spirit who leads this whole thing. You see, we have access to the Father through Jesus, and as the Holy Spirit takes us into the presence of the Father. See? But Jesus is the way, and then the Holy Spirit leads us on that way into the presence of God the Father. Bless God forever. See? Now, the key to how you end this. I read a story one time about a young man who was praying and promptly got up in the middle of his prayers and walked off. And the Holy Spirit said, you got up and left in the middle of the service. And he knew exactly what he meant. And he went back and he prayed through until the blessing came. You see, you can get up in the middle of your prayer time in the presence of God and miss God and miss the gifts of the Spirit. It's because you're running the show, not him. You know, again, going back to my illustration of sitting with the President, a man signals that the meeting is over with by standing up. See? And if I was sitting with the President of the United States, or if I was sitting with the President of your country, I would sit until he stood up. I even did this with a Muslim imam that we went to visit in a northern city of Central African Republic. We went to visit. We were staying in that city, Dr. Jack Tulls and I, and we were teaching in that city, and we went to visit the imam and his monks. And he greeted us, and he had us visit with him out under the tree, and everybody sat on a lower seat than him, you know, including us. And we didn't, you know, just out of respect for him, and the fact that we didn't want anybody to kill us or anything, we didn't stand up until he stood up. See, when he sat down, we all sat down. Then when he stood up, we all stood up. See, and it's just out of respect for the man, and that opened doors for us. When he saw that we treated him respectfully and with kindness and with dignity, then that opened doors with his people and for us in that city. Bless God forever. See, if we'd have been prideful and superior acting and not humble and not respectful, then we would have offended those people. And you see, it's the same thing with God. When you get into the presence of God, you sit and wait on him until he stands up, so to speak, and says the meeting's over. Now, how do you know when he says this? Well, he tells you by the inward witness. Bless God forever. It says, he who believes in the Son of God, verse 10, has the witness in himself. Has the witness in himself. There's an inward witness in you that will tell you time after time about the will of God. And you see, you wait until you have that inward witness in your spirit that says your time now is over with. Because if you'll do that, then when you leave the presence of God, the anointing of God will be upon you, just as it was with Moses in the wilderness, and just as it was with the Lord when he went out to pray. Hallelujah. And then it says the power of the Lord was present to heal in his meetings. So this is what you do. You get into the presence of God, first with confession. Confess your sins. Confess that your body is a living sacrifice. Confess, and then begin to praise. Begin to praise. Begin to give praise and thanks, because this is how you enter into his courts with praise. You enter into his temple with thanksgiving and with praise. Hallelujah. But then there's a point where the praise shifts into worship. You know, it's from the dancing, the hands are raised, the singing, to the face in the carpet. See, the proskuneo, where you are kissing the feet of your master. Then it's in that place of worship where you are in the presence of God, where you are in the manifest presence. And he says to you, ask what I shall give thee. And that's when you present your petitions, when you ask for it, when you diligently seek the best gifts, or you diligently seek that which you need. And he gives it to you. And he gives it to you because he's faithful, and he says he will. He's faithful, and he says he will. See, and then you stay there in that place of worship. And believe me, you'll love it. You'll just love it. You'll just be so thrilled, and you'll be so blessed, and you'll be so full of peace that you won't want to leave. See? And then finally, he'll say, it's time to leave. It's time to leave. You know, don't get up in the middle of the service. Go back and pray through until the blessing comes, until you're released. And then when you are released, you will be anointed with the gift of healing.